That's the reason we have a candlelight service, is to just put the Lord first. We're honoring to the Word of God, where it says, "Seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these things will be added unto you." And so we're thankful that there are folks still today that want to search for God and know God and learn about God and put Him first in their life. That's a blessing. Our text this evening is going to come from the Gospel of Luke and Mary's worship, found in Luke 1, verses 46 through 55. You know, the months between the announcement of Christ's birth and the actual moment of His arrival were, as Andrew has sung already, and as we're going to look at tonight, probably some very hard times for Mary and Joseph. There had to be some tough decisions made, and there was a lot of anxious waiting on both of their parts. However, as difficult a time as it was for them, it's also a blessing to look at Mary's life and see how she conducted herself during that time. And I want to kind of look into the scriptures tonight and look at that, what we see in Mary's, what is known as Mary's Magnificat. And that word Magnificat is kind of special because it means to celebrate. And kind of the theme tonight has been celebrating the Lord and His birth. When Mary said, "My soul doth magnify the Lord," Mary was saying, my soul is celebrating my Savior. And what a blessing that was. This passage specifically tonight is, we find Mary has journeyed to her cousin Elizabeth's home, Elizabeth as well is expecting a very special baby. But when Mary arrives at her cousin's home and speaks to Elizabeth, the baby in Elizabeth's womb leaps for joy. And in verse 45, Elizabeth responds to Mary by telling her that the Lord has blessed her because she has believed. Amen? I'm glad tonight that salvation and the truth of the birth of the Son of God is simple as believing. Today, people want to complicate the truth and the simplicity of the gospel, when in reality, it is nothing complicated at all. And that God would do what He would do, Elizabeth says, to Mary and for Mary and through her life. So hearing this, Mary, even though young and unmarried and pregnant, and I can only imagine what she was going through in her life, instead of being depressed, instead of hiding in shame, instead she begins to lift her voice in worship to the Lord. And in doing so, she reveals her heart, a heart that's in love with God, and a heart that is filled with the Word of God. She teaches us tonight a couple things. We can praise the Lord in spite of our circumstances, and that God's grace is sufficient even in the most troubled of times. And I think you'd all agree with me tonight that Mary and Joseph were suffering some very difficult times. Mary's great song of praise has come to be known as that word, the Magnificat. It's a Latin word. It describes the first few words of Mary's speech or her praise. And again, it speaks of her soul magnifying or celebrating the Lord. And so as Mary lifts up her voice in worship to God, it reminds us tonight of the birth of Jesus and what it's all about, being far more than just the gifts that we're going to be celebrating giving to each other in just a little while. It's more than trees. It's more than all the myths that go on at this time, but rather it's about our relationship with God and about learning how to celebrate His glory and His goodness. So therefore tonight, let's just take a few minutes and if you would, listen with me as we go through Mary's great anthem of praise, and let us join Mary tonight in this celebration of the Lord as we think on that thought, celebrate the Lord. Let's pray. Father, thank You again for loving us. Help us now as we just celebrate Your birth in our lives and into the world and the purpose that you came. Help us to realize that and the great truth. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. The first thing that we look at is Mary, as she celebrates the Lord, is her understanding of personal grace. Now, grace, the grace of God, is the unmerited favor of God that he bestows on his creation. That's you and I. Unmerited grace. What a blessing it is to know God's grace. Well, we can know God's grace in a very personal way. In Mary's Magnificat, in verses 46 through 49, we see Mary in this attitude of worship, if you would. She's expressing her heartfelt thanks for God's blessings on her life. And in doing so, she sets an example for every one of us who believe tonight, and an example that we can follow. The first thing we find is found in verses 46 through 47. And she celebrates being redeemed. Now, when I talk about being redeemed, I'm talking about mankind's salvation and the salvation that God offers to everyone who will believe. The Bible says here in verses 46 and 47 that Mary said, "My soul doth magnify the Lord, and my spirit hath rejoiced in God my Savior." You know, we can know tonight, you know, I'm glad that the Bible is very explicit about a person knowing God. See, what happened a long time ago is as man forfeited their relationship with God in the Garden of Eden. And in that forfeiture, unfortunately, they were kicked out of the garden and their relationship or their fellowship with God was broken. And it was going to take a Savior to reestablish that relationship. All of us tonight, if we are not born again, if we have not come to know Christ in a personal way, we are living with that break in our life of fellowship with God. But the great joy of Christmas is that Jesus came not just to be a baby born in a cradle, but to take on the sins of mankind and go to a cross and die for man's sin and the penalty of that sin. And if you can believe that tonight for yourself, God would invite you to come into his family. He would invite you to trust him as Savior, as Mary trusted God as her Savior. She was birthing the Savior, but she still had to trust in the Savior. Like all mankind, Mary was born in sin and stood in need of a Savior. Matter of fact, she declares that dependence in verse 47 when she makes the statement, God, her Savior. She said, "My spirit hath rejoiced in God, my Savior." She is simply praising the Lord for the salvation that he offers and that which she already possesses because her faith was in God alone. Number two, she celebrated being regarded. In the first part of verse 48, she makes this statement, "For God hath regarded the lowest state of his handmaiden." As we look at this verse, she shows her humility as she ascribes herself as a handmaid, which would be a simple servant woman, a servant girl. She was nothing more. She didn't think she was anything greater than that. And she praised God that God would even notice her. That word regarded means to look upon. Mary is telling Elizabeth that she is thankful for God's recognition for being who she is, a simple handmaid, and that she is experiencing the grace of God firsthand because God had visited her, and that she is experiencing that great grace in a graceful way. Mary understands, like we all should, that she didn't necessarily deserve the favor of the Lord, but that yet God had extended it to her. God's grace is extended to every one of us tonight in the birth of his son. Not only did she celebrate being regarded, but she also celebrated in verses 48 and 49 being rewarded. Listen to what she says. She says, "For behold, from henceforth all generations shall call me blessed. For he that is mighty hath done to me great things, and holy is his name. Mary realized that God was doing something pretty wonderful, something pretty special in and through her life. She, understands that she's going to be the means by which God, the God of eternity was going to enter human history. What a blessing. Amen. While many in her day ridiculed her, while many in her day looked down upon her and what was going on in her life, she knew that in the future others would look back on her obedience and would know that, hey, she had been blessed by the Lord. You know, this is what is remarkable about this young woman, and that was her reward was not that she got to be the mother of the Savior, but her reward was in the fact that God would be glorified through her life and that others would be blessed by her actions. Everyone who knows the God of eternity in a personal way should acknowledge that the Lord has done great things for us as well. I mean, just think of all that God has done for us tonight. As you count your blessings, think of the blessings that we all enjoy. Think of the benefits that are ours as being a child of God. Think of the glory that awaits us one day in the future when he comes back to take us home. Think of the blessings that he blesses us with abundantly. And like Mary, we all have reason to praise the name of the Lord as we celebrate his birth. Mary experienced personal grace. Not only did Mary experience personal grace, but I want you to see Mary as she celebrates the Lord for his perpetual grace. In verses 50 through 53, you know, something that is perpetual is something that continues. And can I assure you tonight that the grace of God is never ending? The grace of God will go on forever. And Mary continues in her anthem tonight of praise for God's grace as she declares in verse 50 the permanence of God's grace. Listen to this. She says, "And God's mercy is on them that fear him from generation to generation." God's mercy is on them that fear him from generation to generation. Mary knew that she wasn't the only one who had or would experience the grace of God. Mary knew that the generations to follow would be blessed because of the grace that she bestowed on her that night, but also through her and her life and her willingness to serve God would continue from generation to generation. She exclaims, "His grace is revealed to every generation until the return of Christ. The grace of God is operating even this evening as we sit here, and I thank God for his grace." Not only do we see her declaring the continuance of God's grace, but we also see the power of God's grace. I love this verse, verses 51 and 52. She says this, "God has showed strength with his arm." You know, a lot of us today, and I'm just going to goof around here a little bit, amen. A lot of us today, all us big men, we want to go like this, right? What do we mean when we do that? Yes, that's exactly what Mary is saying here. She says that God had showed himself mighty, his strength in his arms. He has scattered the proud in the imaginations of their hearts. He has put down the mighty from their seats, and he has exalted them of low degree. Mary praises the Lord because he did not come to reach out to the proud and to the haughty, but in fact, God chose to reveal himself to those who were poor and humble. She says, those of low degree. In God working this great miracle in Mary's life, he has demonstrated his power and he has put to shame all those who think they've got it figured out, the proud. 1 Corinthians 1:27 tells us, "But God, hath chosen the foolish things of the world to confound the wise, and God hath chosen the weak things of the world to confound the things which are mighty." Mary understood that. In one great act, God has reversed the order of society with one simple statement from a lowly handmaid. Those who have considered themselves great, or those who are considered great by men, will be brought low, the Bible says, while those who trust in the Lord, though they may be nothing, they may be poor, they may be humble, will be exalted by their faith in the Lord. Then thirdly, we see her declare the procedure of God's grace in verse 53. When she makes this statement, she says, "God hath filled the hungry with good things, and the rich he has sent away empty." He has sent them away. Mary reminds us that those who realize their lack can come to the Lord and be filled, while those who think they lack nothing can expect exactly that from the Lord. Nothing. God's grace is never ending to those who look for it. God's grace is perpetual. God's grace is personal. And then lastly, look at Mary as she celebrates the Lord for his performance of grace. As we look back to verse 45 and Elizabeth's statement to Mary, Elizabeth said this, "And blessed is she that believed, for there shall be a performance of those things which were told her from the Lord." Elizabeth exclaims or tells us that Mary would be blessed because she simply believed. You know, so many people want to perform today, but it's not about performance. It's not about what you can do to please God or to try and earn God's favor. It's about those who believe by simple faith. Matter of fact, the Bible says, "For without faith it is impossible to please God. And he that cometh to God must believe he is, and a rewarder of them that diligently seek him." I'd encourage you tonight, if you're not seeking after the Lord, that your gift to God tonight would be to start seeking God tonight, to start inquiring and finding out what God has to say. I would love to share with you my life's testimony anytime you would like to talk. Just give me a call and we could talk about that idea of God working in a person's life. What a blessing that would be. Mary praises the Lord not only for the blessings in her life, but also for the blessings of successful generations. But she also praises the Lord for remembering to do what he has promised to do. Isn't that good? Aren't you glad that God doesn't forget? My wife and I, we're getting old. Let me tell you something. She's always saying something. I don't know what I did with that. I don't know where that is. Do you know what I did with that? We're always saying that. You know you are. Amen? And I always tell her, you got to write it down. If you don't write it down, I've gotten in the habit. Amen? The shortest pencil is longer than the longest memory. And I believe that. God never forgets, though. She exalts his name because he hadn't forgotten her. He hadn't forgotten not only her, but her people and their longing for God's salvation. Mary praises the Lord for keeping his word. We see two thoughts here as I close. We see God performing his grace by remembering his promises in verse 54. Listen as I read this to you. God hath hopened or helped his servant Israel in remembrance of his mercy. In remembrance of his mercy. For centuries, the Jews had lived on the promise that one day the Lord would return and send a deliverer, just like Moses, a Messiah to redeem his people and to restore the nation to a place of righteousness and favor with God. And we find that Jesus is the fulfillment of that promise. And as Mary exalts the name of the Lord for remembering to keep his promises, I want to remind you tonight that the Lord is still keeping his promises for you and I. He promises, as he promised Mary, he'll never allow anything that he has promised to go undone. I like what Paul wrote to the Romans in Romans 4:21, and being fully persuaded that what God hath promised, he was able also to perform. What God has promised, he was also able to perform. Can I say that God will come through for you tonight, whether it's in the matter of salvation or in a matter of living for the Lord or whatever your need is tonight, he can come through for you and he can help you in your life. That is why he can be trusted in every situation of life. Whether it is for someone's salvation, as Paul declared in 2 Timothy 1:12, for I know whom I've believed, and I'm persuaded that God is able to keep that which I've committed unto him against that day. Any one of us tonight can be assured of the sanctity and the salvation of our soul if we've committed it unto him and his finished work in Jesus Christ and his work on the cross. And then also not only for our soul's salvation, but for our daily provision. As he said, as he promised in Philippians 4:19, but my God shall supply all your need according to his riches and glory by Christ Jesus. Can I say God will do what he said he will do? He is a God that cannot lie, and he keeps his promises. Therefore, like Mary, we need to learn to trust God and learn to praise him for his goodness, even if we aren't seeing answers to our prayers. If there is one thing we can be assured of, and it's this, you can depend on the Lord. He will never let one of his promises fall to the ground. Peter wrote, the Lord is not slack concerning his promises. That is, God will not go back on his promises. Not only do we see and Mary celebrating the Lord for his promises, but we also see Mary celebrating the Lord because of God's grace towards his people. In verse 55, the Bible says, and God spake to our fathers, to Abraham, and to his seed forever. Mary rejoices in the fact that the Lord hadn't forgotten about her or her people or all people. She makes that statement, his seed forever. Matter of fact, Abraham was the father of faith, and he was the father of all those who believe by faith and will today continue to believe by faith. If you'll just believe and trust God today for your soul salvation, you can know and be assured of eternal life. Mary rejoices in the fact that the Lord hadn't forgot his creation. There has always been those who have called upon the name of the Lord from the time of Abraham and on. Noah, even before, there were many. She praises God's name that he had remembered those who have placed their faith in him and he will not forget. We have that promise of God remembering. There may be some here today that feel that God has deserted you. Let me just remind you of some more of his promises and what he's promised to do. He said in Hebrews 13:5, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee. In Matthew 28:20, he says, and lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the world. Amen. We may never need to forget God forgetting us. It should be something that you just can know that will never happen. He always looks upon us and is wanting us to come to him. God has you forever impressed upon his heart. Matter of fact, the Bible says in Ephesians 2:6 that we are seated together. If you're here tonight and you're saved and trusting Christ and Christ alone for your soul's salvation, the Bible says that you are right now, positionally, already seated in heaven. It says in Ephesians 2:6, and hath raised us up together and made us sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. We're already there. It's as good as done. Now, we know we're not, because all you got to do is look around where you are. Amen? And we come back to reality. It'd be nice to be there, wouldn't it? But the reality is that we're here. But God is saying the promise is good as given. It's as good as given. You can be assured that if you're trusting Christ and Christ alone tonight, that you're as good as in heaven already, according to that promise. He did not save us to lose us. He did not save us to forget about us. He saved us to take us home to be with him, and he's coming again. What a blessed standing is ours. Let me close with this. We're indebted to Mary this evening, not to the extent that we should fall before her or worship her or some statue of her, no. Not that we should pray to her, no. Not that we should hold her higher than anyone else who has ever lived, no. We owe Mary a debt this evening, a debt of gratitude for reminding us that whether it's for personal grace, for favors for others, or for those times we need the Lord to prove himself faithful in our lives, we have a God who is worthy of our faith, our love, our praise, and our worship. With that in mind, I ask you this evening, do you have the same heart that dwelled in Mary? Do you have that heart? Are you in a personal relationship with Almighty God? And are you in such a position in your life that you can truly celebrate Jesus this Christmas? My prayer is that that is so. If you can say, or if you can't say that you are, and you could be in a better position than you are, then why don't you let one of us talk to you one of these days? Come back. We'd love to have you come back. And I'd love to share my personal experience of how I've come to know Christ and what he means in my life. Let's stand to dismiss. I want to thank you so much for coming. We know you could have been anywhere you want, anywhere else tonight, but you chose to be here. I want to wish you all a Merry Christmas and a blessed New Year's. And I pray that you and your family have a blessed time this Christmas season. Andrew?
Turn to 137. 137. We'll sing Joy to the World. We'll sing the first and the last, 137. Sing out on the first, joy to the world, the Lord is come. Let earth receive her King. Let every heart prepare him room, and heaven and nature sing, and heaven and nature sing, and heaven and nature sing. On the last, he rules the world with truth and grace, and makes the nations prove the glories of his righteousness, and wonders of his love, and wonders of his love, and wonders, wonders of his love.
Merry Christmas and have a blessed New Year. God bless you.